You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll look at a wave of proposed legislation that would restrict teaching and training in public K-12 and university schools, with bills in states around the country on education-related topics like gender, race, and sexuality. Now it's the last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Dean Knetter is with me. Listener support is the largest piece of funding here at WPR. Your gift now of $10 a month or whatever amount you choose makes WPR the reliable station that it is, with programs you count on each and every day. Give right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And Rob, I'm really happy to report that last hour we heard from 16 new and returning members. That is awesome news. Thank you so much for those gifts. Right now, we have a new type of challenge, a dollar-for-dollar match, up to $3,000. This generous match is from current members, including a member in Rice Lake, and it means they'll match every dollar you give.
Now, wait a minute, Dean. This is the last day of the drive. Mm-hmm. Just a couple hours left. This is going to be the last challenge match.
The last challenge match of the drive, as far as I know. There's not much time left.
There's not
the
any,
time
yeah.
is now.
It, yeah. So it's if somebody wanted to give and say, I'm going to get my gift matched dollar-for-dollar, this is it. This is the last opportunity to do that thing I just said out loud.
And if you've been putting it off, hey, we don't like to reward procrastination, but this is a great time to give in the last hours of the drive, because $10 turns into $20, $50 into $100, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Perfect time to call in and give.
Yeah, a lot of urgency there is what I'm hearing you say, Dean.
Yeah, you could say that.
Excellent. Well, take that urgency and run with it. Make your gift right now online at WPR.org. Get your gift matched or call 888-202-2552.
You might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars. We do get funding from the federal government and the state, and it really is those voluntary listener contributions that make up the biggest source of funding for WPR programs.
That really means that your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. So that's how important you are. Make your gift now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And today, with a gift of any amount, right now it gets matched, and you can ask for the WPR koozie. It is back by popular demand. This is an orange koozie with a neat WPR design on it, so you can keep your drink cool and support your favorite public radio station. Ask for yours now, again, with a gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, if you've never given before and you look forward to listening to Wisconsin Public Radio pretty much every day, that's a sign that it's time to donate. When you spend that much time with Wisconsin Public Radio, that means it's important to you.
And you are important to us, because WPR is listener-supported radio. We count on the financial participation from people like you, people who care about independent news and conversation and music. Your gift of, say, $100 or $10 a month or whatever amount feels right to you really makes a difference. You can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. We've already had our first couple takers on that. Thank you so much for making a gift and getting it matched. We have about $2,650 left to raise. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support of your favorite radio station is going to go twice as far.
Great time to give. Still plenty of room to get your gift matched if you call in right now. And again, remember, that warmer weather is coming. The cookouts are on their way. That means you're going to want that WPR koozie to be summer ready. You can get yours today with a gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Linda in Sheboygan says, I love WPR. I listen in my car while doing errands. It contributes so much to my life. Linda, glad we're there with you. Don't forget cheese. I don't know if you wrote it down on your list while you're running this errand. I'll get some cheese. And then Donna in Kaukauna, that's great. I love that. Donna in Kaukauna gave and says, I will always support the station. Donna, thank you so much. Glad you're listening. Glad you're supporting WPR. How about you join Donna and Linda with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You make WPR possible every day when you give. A little bit goes a long way, because it's a whole community of people making sure this resource is here for people now and in the future. So give now Support it. Get your gift matched right now for our dollar for dollar match happening this hour. Ask for the WPR koozie. Many reasons to give. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. A lot of states around the U.S. are passing or proposing legislation that would limit what public schools can teach about topics like gender, race, and sexuality. Some states are creating bills similar to Florida's Parental Rights and Education Bill, nicknamed Don't Say Gay by critics. That bill recently passed banning education related to sexual orientation and gender identity up to third grade, with broader provisions applying to all grades. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis made the case for the bill.
We have seen curriculum embedded for very, very young children, classroom materials about sexuality and woke gender ideology. We've seen libraries that have clearly inappropriate pornographic materials for very young kids. And we've seen services that were given to students without the consent or even knowledge of their parents across the country. And we, unfortunately, that's happened here in the state of Florida. You're going to hear from some parents where that has happened.
We're talking today with an expert on free speech and education. Learn what the bills could mean for the future of classrooms. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see states getting involved in setting school curricula when it comes to issues of race or gender or sexuality? What do you think about this bill that passed in Florida? Would you like to see something similar in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Jeremy Young is Senior Manager of Free Expression and Education at PEN America. Jeremy, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here.
Before we get into some of the specifics of what we're seeing around the country, just how widespread is this? How many efforts are there to say, yeah, you can teach this, but not this in schools, coming from state lawmakers?
It is an avalanche. There's 100 since January of last year, there's been 183 of these bills proposed around the country. 19 of them have passed in 15 states. Nearly 100 are still pending. And, you know, 8 of them have passed this year alone. So it's, you know, it is, if anything, escalating around the country here.
Now let's look at that bill in Florida, criticized as the Don't Say Gay bill, arguments over what it is from supporters and critics. Looking at the specifics, what are your concerns about its impact in classrooms?
So there's a couple of concerns. One is simply that it bans discussion of ideas in a classroom, ideas that could be brought up by a student, ideas that could pertain to actual material that's being taught in the class, ideas that are relevant to teachers and to free expression. Look, there's no reason for governments to be passing laws telling teachers what they can't teach in the classroom. Teachers are professionals. They know what they're doing. Curricula are set at the state and local level already. And what this is doing is it is making children feel unsafe, teachers feel unwelcome in the classroom, and you know it's chilling speech. And in the case of the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida, it goes beyond that. It really endangers the lives of children of various ages in the district. They won't be allowed to tell their teachers about their gender identity without that being shared with parents who may be abusive, who may throw them out of the house for saying that. You know, it's a mess. It's a nightmare.
We heard Governor DeSantis there and other supporters of the bill saying, you know, this is mainly about young kids. Everybody's probably going to agree there's some material that's inappropriate when it comes to sexuality for that young an age. They've made the case that this isn't or shouldn't be that controversial. What would you say to that?
Well, I think that teachers, good teachers, are going to be the first in line to say that material should be age appropriate. The problem is that a standard is being applied here that isn't a standard, that is simply legislators looking at material out of context, banning things right and left. The truth is this bill applies to every grade. It restricts discussion of the mere fact of homosexuality. It can't even be mentioned from grades K through 3, even if a child has gay parents, even if a teacher is gay, even if a child is coming out as gay. And it restricts that at the higher grades as well, based on some standards that are going to be promulgated by the Department of Education in the state. I mean, this is dramatic overreach of a non-problem.
That's one category, education related to gender and sexuality. Another common theme is laws that are at least profess to be about critical race theory that involve how race is taught in schools. What kind of things are you seeing in states around the country?
So this is the most common form of these laws that ban what they call divisive concepts, which are a real hodgepodge of things, a combination of things that no teacher would actually teach in a classroom, such as that one race is superior to another race, and things that actually need to be mentioned in certain classrooms, such as the existence of affirmative action policies, which would be banned under couldn't be discussed in class under a number of these bills. And some of these bills ban promoting particular ideas or forcing students to affirm them. But some bills ban even mentioning them or including them as part of a course, even to critique them, even to assign them a reading and then criticize it. And a lot of these bills apply not only to K-12 schools, but to higher education as well. So we're seeing bills here that say that you can't teach in your political science class that affirmative action policies exist, that you can't teach in a business class or a health sciences class that there are racial disparities in healthcare or employment. And that's just wrong.
We're talking to Jeremy Young, Senior Manager of Free Expression and Education at PEN America, looking at a series of bills across multiple states that aim to restrict education on gender and race-related issues in classrooms. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this, what our guest described as a wave of bills of this type, some passing, some introduced in legislatures, including one in Wisconsin, didn't ultimately become law? Are you a teacher? Do you worry about the impact of these bills, or do you think that they might be necessary? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Jeremy Young is with us, Senior Manager of Free Expression and Education at PEN America, looking at a series of bills in states around the country that limit the teaching of concepts related to race and gender in schools, in some cases in higher education. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you support bills like this? Are you worried about them? Do you have questions for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. Jay is with us in DeForest. Jay, hello.
Hi. I do not support bills like these. I kind of want to talk about the CRT ones. You know, how far can people take this? Can the school district decide to not teach about the Holocaust because it makes white people look bad?
Jay, thanks for the call. Jeremy, what do you think?
Well, you know, this has been a bone of contention with some of these bills. The legislators who promote them usually say that they aren't designed to apply to teaching of the Holocaust, only to teaching about race in the United States. But there have been instances where that hasn't been the case. There was a trainer in a district in Texas who did say that the Holocaust had to be taught with both sides. That's a quote. That was walked back later by the district. There's been a couple of legislators who've said that, too. So it's certainly a concern.
Thanks for the call, Jay. Pat joins us now in East Troy. Pat, hello.
Yes, my feelings on the sex education of children is it's not necessarily a controversy even of the sex education. It's more a controversy of whether the parents have control of the sex and care of their children when it comes to sex education and other things, or whether is it a democratic society, or whether the state has more of the care and control of the children as in a strongly socialistic or communist society.
Pat, thanks for the call. Jeremy, the idea of, you know, some of these issues are better left to parents, first of all.
Right. I think Pat raises a good point. I think that the real issue here is that the goal is that we all want what's best for children, right? And the control of children should be as much as possible in the hands of children themselves. To the extent that parents and teachers play a role, and they play a very significant role. You know, I think any teacher and any parent would say that we want them to be pulling together in the same direction for the benefit of those kids. You know, my concern about these bills is that, you know, I don't think they really are bills that defend parental rights. I think they're bills that pit parents and teachers against each other, and I don't think that's good for kids in the long run.
Now, Pat, in the second half of her comments, Jeremy, raising concerns that there's a socialistic or communistic agenda. There is, I think, in some of the support for these bills, whether about critical race theory or gender and sexuality, the argument, and as we heard from Governor DeSantis earlier, that there's a level of indoctrination, leftist or woke or whatever you want to call it, indoctrination going on in schools. And that that's one of the arguments for these pieces of legislation. What's your response to that concern?
I think that the concern is overblown. I think that you can find, if you go, you know, just as with anything, any system, you can find if you go digging a few really extreme examples. But it's shocking to me how few examples proponents of these bills are able to propose to demonstrate that they're necessary. We'll hear two or three examples around the country held up as evidence that there's a massive problem with indoctrination. Really, it seems to me that this is happening only very rarely, and when it does happen, existing mechanisms are already removing the teacher from that situation.
What is your concern, Jeremy, if these laws start to get passed in more states? What is your concern about what education could look like in the years to come?
Well, the first concern is we're in the middle of a teacher shortage, and laws like this are interpreted by teachers, and rightly so, I think, as a tax on their profession and their professional expertise. So losing teachers, having public education, be fraying at the seams, that's a serious problem. I think also censoring the ideas that students are able to hear in the classroom is also a serious concern and something that we'd really like to avoid. You know, PEN America is a nonpartisan organization, and we defend free speech and the freedom to learn against attacks from both the left and the right. And, you know, it would be really nice for us to go back to a time not too long ago when the idea of free speech was held up as a universal good on both sides of the political aisle. I think that's where we need to go again. And right now I'm concerned that that's not happening.
Do you think this is going to be an ongoing trend, these kind of bills? Or do you see this as kind of an election year ploy in some ways?
Well, I think as long as it continues to work, the bills in terms of firing up the base and making people mad, you know, the bills will continue to be proposed. And so I think the only way for that to really stop is for people to come to their senses and say, you know, our teachers are good, schools are popular, people who have kids in schools really enjoy what their kids are learning. 73% of Americans have strongly positive views of their child's teacher, you know, and just refocus on what we need to be focused on, which is how best to educate children in our country.
Jeremy, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
That's Jeremy Young, Senior Manager of Free Expression and Education at PEN America. He joined us to talk about efforts in states around the country to limit education about issues related to race and gender. Coming up, whether you're for or against genetically modified foods, a new exhibition at the Glass Museum in Neenah adds a creative perspective to the conversation. We'll talk to the artist whose work is on display right now. First is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Dean Kinetter joins me. Your contribution keeps Central Time and WPR going strong. $10 a month, $100 a month, every gift in any amount really makes a difference because the largest share of funding the WPR programs comes from people like you. Give now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And when you give, your support will go twice as far right now because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect this hour from current members, including a member in Rice Lake. It means that your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 into $200, and so on and so forth. It's a great time to give. Take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
That last conversation, we looked at these bills in states around the country related to race and gender education in schools. From a group that says they defend free expression and education. a deep look at something that you might see headlines about just about every day lately. It's an example of the kind of in-depth conversation you can count on here on Central Time.
Going beyond the headlines and having more extended conversations about these big issues is one of the things we do well here at WPR, and one of the reasons that you rely on Central Time and the other shows on the Ideas Network. It can happen because it's listener-supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes these topics and these conversations possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
You listen to WPR month after month, year after year. Now donate the same way that you listen. Become a sustaining member. You'll make ongoing contributions of $10 or $20 a month for as long as you want to.
It's going to feel great. You'll have the satisfaction of knowing that you're always supporting the programs you love. So don't delay. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about all the things you've learned about here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Stuff that might affect your own life. How to deal with grief and grieving in tough times. Getting in touch with the top political news stories of the day. Advice on grilling and other great food and cooking advice on Food Friday. Whatever it is, WPR is here for you, and we're watching for the latest information on topics that interest you. Invest in your future listening now. Donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, Rob, our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect this hour. We have about $2,000 still left to raise, and we don't want to leave any of that money on the table. Your gift will be doubled when you give this hour. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last day of the drive, last chance to get your gift doubled, last chance to ask for the limited edition WPR can koozie back for one last hurrah. This orange can cooler is yours with a gift of any amount when you ask for it at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552. Step up right now because the WPR koozie is only available while supplies last.
We heard from Mary Kay in Escanaba, Michigan, who says, I love your programs. And Jane in Red Hook, New York, says, I spend the summer in Janesville and enjoy listening to WPR. Jane and Mary Kay, thank you for your support. Join them in making a gift. Rob, how can they do it?
Do it online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. This last day of the drive, last chance to get a challenge, a dollar-for-dollar match for your gift right now. Make your gift. We really appreciate it. We're glad you're listening. Glad you're supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll learn about the Wisconsin origins of the American Studio Glass Movement and the movement's connection to a recently opened glass art exhibition focused on corn. First, it's the last day of our spring member drive. Dean Kinetter joins me now. Your gift keeps this program and WPR going strong. $10 a month, $100 a month, every gift in any amount makes a big difference because the largest share of the funding for WPR programs comes from people like you. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000 in effect right now. This is really exciting. A really great time to donate because current members, including a member in Rice Lake, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of putting up a goal and inspiring you to match it and to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You may have found yourself at some point hanging out by the radio, drawn into a great conversation. You're supposed to get somewhere, but the discussion is just too interesting to ignore. You appreciate the guest's knowledge, the caller's questions, the views, the zany entertaining host. I don't know, something. Because that's happened to you, give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Take a second and think about all the things you spend money on every day. Coffee, takeout, it adds up. It is easy to spend things on part or spend money on things that are part of your daily routine.
Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your routine. It's your news source, your conversation starter, your place to learn. Spend some money on it right now. Start with $1 a day. That's $30 a month at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
A koozie is that foam holder that people put their canned beverages in. Why do you use a koozie when you're enjoying a cold beer or soda?
I use canned koozies to keep my beverages cold.
Keep my beverage cold.
To keep my drink cold.
Keep your drink nice and cold and in your hand where it should be.
When I'm watching live music.
When I'm working in the garden on a hot and sunny day.
But also because they're fun.
Today only, make a gift for any amount for the WPR programs you rely on, and we'll send you a WPR can koozie. Keep your beverage cool, your hands dry, and your WPR pride on full display. Give now. Here's how.
Make that gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Dean Kinetter. Your support during the spring member drive makes the WPR programs you count on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does make a difference.
It is down to the wire, Rob. Our spring membership drive ends at 6 o'clock today. There is not much more time to pledge your support for Central Time or WPR, but it's a great time to do so because you get your gift matched right now with our dollar-for-dollar match. Still some money on the table to do that with. Hey, take a couple minutes, make a gift of support for WPR, the programs you count on. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, the clock is ticking on this last match, this last challenge of the drive and on the drive itself for that matter. Make that gift right now. Don't put it off. We need another about $1,900 to hit that full $3,000 challenge. We can do it with your help. But got to cultivate a little sense of urgency here. I think there's not too much time to do that. Make your gift right now. Get us rolling at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
One of the great things about WPR is that it works on the honor system. You don't have to pay for it. It's always there for you. But when you do choose to support it, you make all the WPR programs possible. So how about a gift right now of $10 a month?
You decide the amount. It'll get matched this hour, and then go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
About $1,900 left of that dollar-for-dollar match. This is from a group of generous WPR members. Their way of inspiring you to jump in here, take the leap in this last hour or so of the drive and support Wisconsin Public Radio, become a part of the family. You can give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support will go twice as far.
Dollar for dollar match still in effect. Last chance on this last day of the drive. Give right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Agriculture can be both an art and a science. For one of our next guests, he's taken that a few steps further, becoming an artist after working on his family's farm and starting to study agriculture in college. Michael Milan is an artist and fourth-generation farmer from central Wisconsin near Pickett. His glass installation Primordial Shift and other works are on exhibit now at the Bergstrom Mahler Museum of Glass in Neenah. Mick, welcome to Central Time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And also with us is Kate Vogel, UW-Madison graduate, who together with John Littleton creates and sometimes teaches about blown and cast glass art, part of a big Wisconsin-born glass art movement. Kate, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me as well.
Mick, I want to start with you and the Primordial Shift installation at this exhibition of your work. When we walk into the room where this is set up, paint us a picture. What are we going to see?
Well, when I turned 50, I decided to make work that was important that I understood instead of working in the field of decorative arts. So I turned 50 and I planted that same year. I planted my first genetically modified seed, which brought me to the conclusion that I have a story to tell about farming because we are a small majority in the population of farmers who have been able to use the new technologies that we have to continue to double our yield. We have to remember that just in the 40s, we were still getting 40 bushels to the acre. Today, our output is consistently for corn production is around 150 to 250, and it's jumped now to 300 bushels to the acre. Consistently, we're getting 250 bushel yields throughout the Midwest. That only happened because of genetic modification. The downside to all of this is the fact that how hard is this going to be to sustain the use of our natural resources? How much potash? Plants do not do well unless they have, you know, inputs. So with that in mind, when people walk into the show, I want them to realize that the ears are 4 feet large, and the idea here is to make this cultivar, it's sort of a shock to see them that big. At the same time, there are bronze leaves on the top that are horizontal. The whole idea with that is to have something lateral that for composition, but to put the leaves in a different, not so friendly environment. With that being said, when you put a video of chirping birds and scientific letters and thunder as a backdrop shooting through the hanging objects from the ceiling, there are about 30 of them, you create this whole 2D, 3D environment that makes is to stop people to think about what is this. And I think making art should be in that vein. It should say something about our society.
So we've got this giant corn made out of glass, Mick, and you got into glass making, I understand, in a studio setting at UW River Falls back in the 60s. What captured your imagination about working with glass?
Well, it was very new at the time, and I went to River Falls because my dad didn't finish high school and going up on a farm. So it was the farthest thing from my mind was going to be get involved with art. But it was the new program there in 1968, I had my first class, and the movement had just begun in the early 60s out of Madison. And who taught there at that time was out of that first graduating class of Harvey Littleton's, who started that whole movement in the United States. And Kay will probably talk more about that. But yeah. I just happened to walk through the art department and saw people throwing pots. And, of course, they were all covered with mud. And growing up on a farm, I thought, well, I can do that. And so I got involved with the glass movement in the very early years.
Kate, let's bring you in now. This glass program wasn't just at River Falls. Mick mentioned at UW-Madison as well, where you studied. Can you tell us a little more about how this art glass movement got started in many ways here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so my father-in-law, Harvey Littleton, was the first person to teach glass in the university setting. He had a workshop in 1962 at the Toledo Museum of Art. And I really think that if he had not been an art professor and had not brought it back to Madison, it might not have taken off, because what he did is he brought it to his students and started a graduate program. And so it started out fairly small, but then after that first year, he had more and more graduate students join him at the art department in Madison, taking the glass programs. And it was at a time when the country, there was a really big expansion in the university systems, and they were hiring more and more art teachers. And so a lot of Harvey's students who graduated went on and taught in other schools and started glass programs. So you took something that was just in Madison, then it goes to River Falls, it went to places like Berkeley, California, it went to Tyler in Philadelphia. I mean, it went all over the country. And Harvey also had really strong connections and friendships through the craft movement with artists in Europe. And so he would send his students from UW-Madison to study in Europe. And so they brought those concepts back. So Madison in the early 60s into the 70s was really a hotbed for everything that was going on and everything that had to do with glass.
And for you, Kate, I want to ask you the same question I asked Mick. There's a lot of different mediums out there you could work in for art. What is it about this glass movement that struck you?
Oh my gosh, what isn't there about it? So, I mean, for me, glass is just this amazing material. It It plays with light as light travels through it, and it you know, reflects things. It can be transparent, opaque. When it's hot, it's fluid and it's like in motion, which is like really exciting to watch. And then when it's cold, it's like hard and it's brittle. It has so many different properties. And I think as an artist, what's exciting to me about it is there's so much potential as far as what you can do to express yourself with it, that it's not like, oh, I'll do one thing and then I will have figured it out. If I lived five lifetimes, I think I would still have more things that I would be excited about making in glass.
We're talking to Kate Vogel and Mick Mylon about working with glass, doing art with glass, an exhibit going on right now at Bergstrom Mahler Museum of Glass in Neenah. Mick, you mentioned you're kind of two identities, growing up on a farm and then coming back and working on a farm. And as an artist, was it a natural for you to bring those two together in something like a Primordial Shift in your work with corn and glass?
Well, that's exactly what happened. Eventually, you know, the theme, the iconic ear of corn, became my metaphor, so to speak. And it just kept working on me over time that I was doing design work and involved with the decorative arts. And I suddenly realized, you know, that this could be a material to be expressive with. And once I got involved with the video, that added external light that bounces off the glass, like Kate was saying. Glass is an incredible material to work in because it has all of these wonderful different properties. It's endless. It really is endless.
Kate, maybe this is a dumb question, but when I think of glass, I think of fragile. Can you talk about just the challenges of working with a kind of a fragile substance in art that needs to be made and moved and set up?
Some of it is very fragile, but there's a lot of it that's a lot more durable than you would think. Huh. I mean, a lot of the castings that we make are pretty heavy, and I think the weight becomes more of an issue as the glass pieces get big. And I think the other thing is if you've made the piece, you're really familiar with it, and you have a different comfort level with it than someone who's not familiar with it. And I guess that's true of pretty much anything. It's like the furniture in your house and the things in your house, you know how that they work. And so you have a comfort level with them. If you went into somebody else's house, you might treat them differently. So if I was working with or handling someone else's artwork, I think I would handle it very differently than my own, more delicately.
Now, Mick, you've got this exhibit going on at Bergstrom Mahler. If you don't mind spoiling things for us, what is next for you? What do you have a new project in mind after this?
I haven't even thought about that. I'm covered from, you know, when you have that many pieces, a retrospective is what the word means. It's a formal exhibition of work over the years. And I had a lot of things that I had stored over the years that I hadn't seen in years. And so just putting this whole thing together was a big, kind of a wonderful, exhausting experiment, if you will, because there's only one chance at it, and it just brought back lots of memories. And but going forward, who knows? Again, the material kind of leads the way. It's what glass is.
And Kate, can you leave us with some encouragement for people to check out glass art when they have opportunities like a mixed exhibit going on right now?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think going in to see something like Mix Exhibit, it opens so many different ways of looking at the world. It's not just about the art, but I think with all of us, when we go and look at art, the hope is that it might change your perspective in life, or it might get you really excited about something that you've never thought about before. And there are so many places that show glass. There's Door County, Wisconsin. There's a gallery that's been there for years, Edgewood Orchard Gallery, that has glass in it. Chazen Museum, Bergstrom Mahler, I mean, Milwaukee Art Museum, Racine. I mean, Wisconsin is very, very fortunate. There is glass in so many different places. And there's also a number of different artists that show glass. And then there's also the museum, what's it called? It's MOWA, the Museum of Wisconsin Artists.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I always get the acronym. I can never remember the full name. But anyway, there's a lot of places to see glass. I encourage people to go out and see it. And also, if there's an opportunity to see it being blown, that is really fun. And that was really what hooked me, is when I saw people working with the material, I was like, whoa, I want to try that. It's so incredible.
We'll leave it there. Kate, thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
And Mick, thanks for sharing your exhibition with us.
Yeah, thank you much.
Michael Mick Mylon is an artist and fourth-generation farmer from central Wisconsin. UW-Madison graduate Kate Vogel creates and sometimes teaches about blown and cast glass art. They're with us today to talk about the origins of the American studio glass movement in the UW system and an exhibition of Mylon's work, including the glass installation Primordial Shift. It's showing now at the Bergstrom Mahler Museum of Glass in Neenah. Now it's the last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Dean Kinetter is with me. We don't have a lot longer to ask for your support. Listener support is the largest source of funding for all the conversations you count on. That's why your gift right now is so important. You can make it online at WPR.org or make a phone call. 888-202-2552.
And it is a perfect time to give right now because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect for just the next few minutes. This is from current members, including a member in Rice Lake. It means they'll double your gift. $50 turns into $100, $100 into $200, and so on. Take advantage of this match right now in the next few minutes, and your support will be doubled when you give at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
Well, once again, we had this conversation where we learned about Wisconsin's place in the world. In this case, the art world. I didn't know this, Dean, what a big deal the state was in the history of this whole art form, this whole medium of using glass in art. And what a cool Wisconsin thing, this show going on right now in Neenah, bringing together a mix, a world of his background as a farmer and as a glass artist. It's an example of the cool, unique, Wisconsin-focused conversations we bring you all the time here on Central Time.
I agree. That was a really neat conversation, hearing about the past and the present of Wisconsin glass art, and like you said, how it affected the world. And I learned something. You listening probably learned something as well. And because you value that, because it's something you tune in for every day, support it. You can do so at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
Another thing we like here in Wisconsin is cold beverages. Well, we've got the WPR Koozie back for one last day. Keep your favorite drinks cold, your WPR pride on display wherever you're drinking said beverage. Ask for your limited edition Koozie when you give any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like to listen to WPR because it informs me, enriches me, and also kind of challenges me. It's just wonderful. I listen the minute I wake up on the way to work, when the work day is done, in the evening, and we even have the radio on for our pets during the day. I became a sustaining member, first of all, because of the convenience. It helps me be a part of WPR in a significant way because it's ongoing. It's a way to keep the mission going, and my small part, I think, plays a part in that. I'm David from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Join David with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Last day of the drive, last just over hour now, and the last challenge match, the last chance to get your gift doubled in the next few minutes. A lot of reasons to give. Give quick at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might be wondering, well, how much should I give? That's entirely up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs, programs that keep you informed and entertained all year long.
Make that gift right now, and the amount that's right for you, get it matched. Still about $1,000 left in that match. Do it at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Make a big difference for public radio when you do.
You're part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners. Whether you've been listening for years or just a few months, you can now become a part of the community of members, people who support the programs they value.
How much do you want to give? You decide. Maybe give $120 or spread it out as $10 a month in an ongoing gift. Your contribution of any amount makes you a member, and members are the biggest part of our funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It all starts with your gift quickly right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. The clock is ticking, but there is still time to get your gift matched. We have this dollar-for-dollar match in effect. Oh, just a few hundred dollars left to get your gift matched. So if you're thinking about it, now is the time. Let's not leave any money on the table.
So
go
close
to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Love to hit this last challenge of the drive. That would be great. Your gift might be the one that puts us over the top, and you can ask for the WPR can koozie when you give any amount while you're doing it. Couple great reasons to give there, and of course there's the main reason to give, and that's that you count on the Ideas Network for great conversations every day of the week, and we count on you to help pay for it. Make your very important gift right now. One last chance to get a match dollar for dollar. Get that WPR can koozie. Make the gift. It takes just a few minutes online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and thank you so much.